Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, great to talk to you. Interesting week, to say the least, we got now.
Yeah, Thursday, literally a red letter day on Wall Street, except it's the numbers that are all red. What's the story there?
Well, the most interesting thing to me about what's happening specifically today, it could bounce a little, you know, before now in the close, but the Dow is down over 1,000 points. But yesterday it was up over 900 points. And that rally all happened in after 2:30, after the Federal Reserve announced that they were going to raise interest rates by 50 basis points. And before that, there was a lot of talk that they might be doing some 75 rate hike points because inflation is so high now in the United States, but they just did 50, and they released a statement that predicted that it would just go back down to 2. And Jerome Powell gave a lot of reassurances that we're not going to go in a recession, and very, very nice prediction in a press conference that afternoon. So, you know, the stock market bulls, the market rallied on that, but now it's given it all back and more so far today. And what that does is it makes the rally yesterday look like, and then I believe it is, a classical one-day wonder rally that you see in a bear market for the U.S. stock market. Now, there's things in a bull market still that, you know, people need to focus on. But most people in the United States, and they're just invested in NASDAQ, in these funds and losing money. And bonds are going down. The 10-year yield went above 3% today, the highest level in years. TLT's at the bond ETF's at a new 52-week low. So we're in a bond bear market that's really driving the stock market lower. And most people in the market, myself included, have never seen that, because the last time that happened was, you got to go back to really 1980. But people who got in the market for the first time trying to trade in 2020, they have no clue, what is going on. And the thing is, a bear market, and I've seen myself, bear markets in the stock market, bear markets in commodities, I've seen many bear markets. They tend to come to an end when those that are in them as bulls holding or trying to trade, give up. And typically you see a real selling climax and people leave the market, unfortunately a lot forever. I saw that in 2000, 2008, can happen in commodities, too. So one of the things I think that's interesting about what's been going on this year is last week, the Robinhood company came out with quarterly earnings, and they show they're making less money, less revenue. They're making a loss. They're not making any profit, but they're making less revenue because fewer people are trading. And they actually laid off 9% of their workforce. You think where that, you know, what it was like in January 2021, when we're told that there's a revolution going on with small traders and Robinhood was empowering people and at the forefront of it. It was going to be this great thing that's going to just starting. Well, it ended because now they're laying off 9% of the people. But not just that, they revealed that 2 million people, customers, went from being monthly active traders to inactive. And that means they either stopped trading completely because of the losses they incurred, or they liquidated and closed their accounts up. And that represents 11% of all their customers. So 2 million people wiped out essentially in the stock market in the first quarter, 11% of Robinhood traders. And, you know, that's a process that's going to continue. And I think when it's over, that's when the bear market will be over. And I wouldn't be shocked if by then the Robinhood stock isn't under a dollar. It's trading at 10.69 now. But I say this from this is probably something similar to what I saw and experienced with day traders in the 1990s and 2000. That's how I got into the market. And there are lots of these day trading offices across the United States, and they all closed up. And 90% or even more of the day traders, they closed their accounts and walked away from stock trading forever. It doesn't have to be that way. People who are losing money in the markets with Robinhood accounts, you know, they're trying to buy the same fad stocks that are now deep in bear markets that they were popular over 12 months ago, or they're holding these things that are falling. And if they would stop, you know, instead of just, you know, think I've got to hold or give up, if they would just simply liquidate these losing positions and then try to figure out a way to win in a market that's much different than what was sold to them, they were sold a pack of lies. And now, you know, they're bearing the cost of that. So, you know, how do you win in the markets? You look for things in a bull market, and that, and what's bullish can change from year to year. But it's not just, this isn't just happening on Robinhood. And one thing I've started to also take note of is on Fidelity. People can find this on Fidelity. They will show you live the top buys and sells, the stocks being most actively traded, and they show you the ratio of buy to sell orders. And this is updated live, and anyone can find this. Go to Google search and type orders by Fidelity customers. Now, what this is showing me is, you know, not just what people are holding, which is what Robinhood shows in that top 100 list we've talked about before. This is showing what people are doing live at the moment. And I believe that when this bear market is over, there will be a mass liquidation of more sell orders than buy orders across the board on this Orders by Fidelity customers page. Again, type Orders by Fidelity customers in Google. You should be able to find this. So what's happening is on the down days in the market, the people trading on here are putting in more buys than sells. They're picking days like today are buy opportunities, and they've been doing this all year. And that tells me that, you know, that this is not over. Doesn't mean the market can't bounce, can't have a wonder rally, go up for a week or two. In fact, I think it will before the bear market is over. I think we'll get many false fake rallies in, you know, I honestly hope we get one after today's drop because it'd give people a chance to get out. But this is what I think, you know, we're going to have to see a lot more individual traders give up. And you can say it's the institutions, it's the big money selling today. Elon Musk liquidated 10% of his Tesla shares last year with an insider following. Now, I think he sold a little bit more to do his Twitter game, and he's got other big money people involved now to help that happen. But him and many other insiders were liquidating last year, and they got out, and now look, the market's in a rough spot. It's been falling all year, and it's a bear market. So not a shocker. It's just the people in the market need to adjust to that reality, or they're going to be out of the game eventually, and that doesn't have to be that.
And I've been told by a lot of experts the secret to wealth isn't making money in good times, but holding on to your money in bad. Is this a time to step to the sideline and watch the inexperienced plunge away?
Well, that's the easiest solution. That doesn't mean go to 100% cash.
No.
Cause I do think, I mean, I've done that in the past And it's very difficult if you are 100% in cash to actually be invested when the bottom does come. This is not easy. So I think, what I'm doing, I'm not saying this is what people should do either, but, what I'm doing is I have a lot of long positions. I don't really have cash, but instead of cash, I've got short positions, to hedge my long position. So I'm trying to manage my risk that way. And my plan is I would close out my short positions at some point in the future. That would give me cash to then buy. That's a difficult thing to do. Shorting is very difficult. And people could buy put options as a hedge, too. That's just another solution. But that's difficult, too, because you got to figure out, when is my option going to expire? What's the premium I'm paying for volatility, which fluctuates, and so forth? The easiest solution probably is to simply have cash reserves and to hold things still in bull market, things still above their 200-day moving averages, or even near high, things outperforming the S&P 500. And when you look for things doing all three, you're primarily going to be looking at commodity. Energy is floating around $105 a barrel. And despite the repeated predictions from people who want to say inflation's peaking out, oil has not dropped. The Commodity Research Bureau Index is at a new 52-week high this morning. And stocks related to commodities, are buys and dips because they're in a bull market. I think, putting a portion of one's money, in the commodity sector and then having cash reserves is probably the simplest, way to navigate the market going forward here. Mm-hmm. Until, this stock market really has a final low. But, even with today's down day, the S&P, I don't think is down 14% from the high. It's only been, 4 months just about since this bear market started for the S&P 500. So, and these things just take time. I think the average bear market lasts about 10 months. So no one can really predict exactly how something will last, but I definitely think, say we're halfway through it. Could be more, could be even longer, but we're not there yet.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, in times like this, do people flee to the U.S. dollar?
Well, that's one of the things that's been going up. The U.S. dollar, and I think the Canadian dollar, both have been trending up this year. So I do think they do. And almost all other currencies around the world have been declining. Gold's been going up, even with the U.S. dollar going up, which is bullish for gold. But, at the moment, the U.S. dollar is definitely bullish. And that's a sign, too, that having cash reserves isn't a bad thing to do when, just about all other currencies are going down in comparison. Some are going down so much, it's frankly shocking. The Japanese yen, I'd put into that category. The Japanese yen also would typically go up as a safe haven, in times when the market fell, but it's doing the opposite, which is, an interesting thing to say the least.
Natural gas has also gone up, but I'm thinking this has a lot more to do with the situation in Europe where they're trying to wean themselves off Russian natural gas than anything happening in the stock market.
Well, I don't think natural gas is making a new high, made a new high yesterday, trading up again. I like to think of commodities as separate from the stock market and try to analyze both of them distinctly from one another. And the overall commodity complex is in a bull market. And yeah, the situation with the war in Ukraine, is definitely helping natural gas, energy, some of the food, wheat, for instance, and corn are still near high, all go up. But But I think they would be going up anyway. Maybe not as much as they've been going up. But I think they'd be going up anyway because the overall commodity complex is in a bull market. They made secular bottoms in 2020, meaning that they weren't just a cyclical trend. Cyclical trends typically last, you know, for a big cycle, about three years. Secular trends go on longer. I think you're talking about a decade. So commodities were in a bear market for pretty much a decade until 2020. That's when oil futures went negative, if people can remember that. And when something makes a secular low, that means it's positioned to go up for, you know, 7 to 10 years. And yeah, there'll be pullbacks and here and there. But overall, you got these cycles, but this bullish secular cycle in your favor. So I think that is the most important factor when it comes to all these commodities. And in fact, when the war started, the inflation CPI numbers started to become alarming last year around October. In January, Jerome Powell and people who like to believe in him because they find comfort in believing in him were predicting that inflation would be so-called transitory, it would appear last in the spring of last year and then go away. Well, by October, it was increasing, proving that idea was wrong. And then when the Ukraine war began, President Biden and other figures in the Fed too, then blamed inflation on the war. But, you know, it is a way to, I think, you know, take people's eyes off the fact that, you know, their earlier predictions are so wrong, and then ask themselves, why were they so wrong, and what does that mean? So I think this is, a lot is going on with commodities. And one of the things is, one of the biggest things going on in the market is the bear market in bonds. Because when people take money out of bonds, they want to put that money in something else that's not volatile. The stock market is too volatile to act as a safe haven. And so is crypto coins. If anything, crypto coins are worse than the stock market as far as, you know, as a safe investment. They are. But so what is someone that has 50% of their money in bonds told that's safe, and now they realize it's not. What do they do? Well, you know, they look at some, I guess, are putting it in cash, putting it in the currency markets or the U.S. dollar index. It helps go up. But some are also going into gold. They're going into other commodities. And I think that's one of the biggest drivers of what's going on in commodities. It's an alternative investment. When now the bond market doesn't, it provides a yield so far below the rate of inflation, you're guaranteed to lose money. And then the bond funds themselves are falling. So you are losing money. And the stock market's so risky now, it's just more that the people stay in it, hoping it will stop falling and be as good as it was. But, you know, some wake up and move their money somewhere. And I think that's what's behind a lot of what's going on in the commodities.
Are there any so-called safe havens out there?
Well, I mean, I think gold is still the best safe haven. Gold, it's trading choppy the past couple weeks, but it's above, we're trading around 1900. It's up for the year during all this turmoil in March 2020 when the S&P 500 fell over 30%. Gold fell about 10%. And at some point, I think gold's just going to really take off and go up even more than it did in the first 90 days this year. But it's still up year to date, and I think it still is a great safe haven. It's less volatile than the stock market, and I believe has more upside in the years to come, as it has demonstrated already so far year to date.
Mm-hmm. And gold, of course, is a physical thing that I guess you could store under the floorboards if you wanted to, but more likely in a vault somewhere. Cryptos, they could disappear in the blink of an eye, couldn't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen crypto exchanges shut down. But, you know, crypto itself is falling with the stock market. And the NFT market that we were, you know, hyped up about, I don't know about you or the person that could be listening, but I personally have seen nonstop ads over the past 6 months trying to entice me to get suckered into this NFT world. Even Major League Baseball is selling NFT cards or has a deal with some weird company to, you know, license with them to do it. It's just crazy. But the NFT, the number of people trading NFTs has collapsed. And a lot of this virtual world, I think, is a lot of hype and wildly blown up to make it appear like more people are doing this or this is the future than it really is. And I think perhaps the biggest example of that, or one of them, is the idea of the metaverse. You know, this is, you know, virtual real estate and wear these goggles and go into virtual world, have virtual meetings and all this kind of stuff. And supposedly, you know, they think corporations are going to want to have board meetings like this and employee meetings like this. And, you know, I can say, you know, somebody that has had businesses that had employees of a different side that, you know, I don't now, but if I ever had employees again or was a manager or board member or something, we would never have virtual meetings. It's insane. You know, it's not a replacement for real life. And I think, you know, I'd rather, like we're doing, you know, we're talking through, audio and people are listening to us on the radio or the internet, and that's real. You know, you feel someone's voice, how they're, you can feel their emotions in that. But if you do a metaverse meeting, you're basically telling people, I don't want the real you. I want you to become a cartoon character, and then I'll interact with you. And it's just going to breed mental illness, what social media does. And, you know, the point is, if you're running a company, you're not going to want to do stuff like that with your employees. It's not going to increase productivity. It's going to decrease it. It's just silly business practices. So it's not caught on. But here's a figure. Despite all the talk of the metaverse, all the advertising about it, there's only 300,000 people in the entire world playing around in it. That's it. It's not caught on. The only 300 on the entire planet. So it's just a silly thing. I think it's the equivalent of 3D glasses for movie theaters in the 1950s. You know, the novelty. A couple movies were made, but it never took off. And every once in a while, someone will come up with a 3D movie, and you know, but these things never took off. They never will, because it doesn't really enhance the experience of watching a movie or television enough to make people, you know, to dominate the industry. And I think that's what metaverse is. It's not going to dominate the world, but it's a promise. You know, Facebook, the website, peaked out in terms of growth. The stock crashed in January. Not simply did it peak out in terms of growth, but the number of users were revealed to decline last year. So the company has rebranded itself, Facebook, and talked about the promise of metaverse to try to hype people and entice people. And in the end, that's what the crypto world is. It's an instrument that was created to get people to want to speculate and entice them into something that's supposedly new and shiny, a shiny object, because what was already in the stock market and the financial markets had already gone up so much that some guys came up with the idea, let's create this crypto thing, you know, this could become the next thing. And all the claims they made that it would replace money and everyone would be using it, it would be a safe haven that would replace the U.S. dollar, all turned out to be false. As we're speaking, you know, I go to the store, I'll go to Walmart, I'll go to a restaurant, I'll go to a bar, I'll go to the gas station. None of these places will accept a Bitcoin or a cryptocurrency. And then we see what's going on in front of our eyes. Bitcoin just falls more than the stock market when it goes down. And the U.S. dollar has been going up this year. And so is gold. So no safe haven in crypto. It's just a millstone on people's account. The quicker they sell it, the quicker they take that millstone off. And then they can do something more better for themselves with that money, like buy gold, buy silver, because they think gold's too expensive for.
I can't believe that people were buying Meta Universe real estate, paying hundreds of thousands for a non-existent island property. If you're going to buy real estate, why not the real thing? At least it'll still be there even if the price goes down.
Yeah, it's the craziest, perhaps the craziest thing I've ever seen, ever, as far as speculation and investing in the financial markets. I don't know, maybe you could think of something crazier, but I can't right now.
Well, remember, they were always ready to sell you some swampland in Florida or, you know, the bridge next to your house. Hey, you can buy a piece of that bridge or buy the bridge. And we laughed at that, and yet I didn't hear anybody laughing at this virtual real estate. And I thought, that is the silliest thing I've ever heard of. You're buying a something generated on somebody's computer and putting hundreds of thousands into it? I just didn't understand.
No, it's totally crazy. I'd like to know if there's banks loaning people money to buy this stuff.
Yeah, try repossessing it.
Yeah.
Mike, always a pleasure chatting with you.
You too. Good to talk with you. And love, your listeners are great too.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.